Chapter 8. Sukiyaki Fusion had been the first Japanese restaurant Styles had ever been to, and even after trying a couple others, he maintained it was the best. He had first gone there with his parents for his 7th birthday because he wanted whatever it was that ninjas ate after having watched a heavily edited ninja marathon on TV when he was homesick with strep throat. Later, of course, he figured that real ninjas probably did not gorge themselves on sushi, sukiyaki, tempura, and fried tofu on a regular basis. But he loved the food so much he got over his disappointment in the lack of historical accuracy pretty quick. It may not be what he usually went for, as he would always honestly believe that curly fries might be the pinnacle of man's gastronomical achievement. But as man could not live on curly fries alone, he might as well get some nice omega-3 fatty acids from a delicious sashimi platter. Derek, on the other hand, didn't have the same sense of culinary adventure that Styles did. Really, aside from Laura, the Hales were a very basic meat and potatoes type family. A very rare meat and potatoes type of family, as Styles had discovered the first time he and his father went over to have dinner with them when he was a kid. He didn't care what his father said. He never freaked out when he first cut into his ultra-rare steak and screamed that it was still bleeding. The man's recollection was obviously faulty, as was Derek's, who still liked to tease him about it from time to time, even though it never happened. Which was actually helping make Styles feel a little bit more at ease on this. Styles was going to call it an ambiguous outing with Derek. Because even though a part of him wanted to leap over the table and taste the soy sauce on Derek's tongue, and another part was telling him, no, 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 and just wanted this unfair torment to end, there really was yet another part who was really just enjoying mocking Derek's hesitant reaction to the food and his complete and utter inability to use chopsticks. If you want, we can ask the server for the training chopsticks connected with rubber bands, Styles offered smugly, deftly picking up a piece of tuna maki roll topped with salmon, yellowtail, and tobiko, and dipping it in his soy sauce. You know, the ones they keep around for kids? He popped the sushi into his mouth and chewed happily. I'm fine, grumbled Derek, trying to pick up a piece of shrimp tempura, and almost succeeding, until it fell into his soy sauce, splattering the condiment all over his shirt and Derek's half of the table. Styles leaned back in his chair instinctively and checked his own shirt for any stray drops. Finding none, he looked back at a desolated-looking Derek, staring at his now soggy piece of shrimp. Or we could ask for forks. No shame in that, Styles couldn't help himself from saying. Or you could even use your fingers. I sure won't judge. At least not much. Hardly at all. Only on the inside. Derek finally looked up from the table, and oh lord, Derek Hale was blushing. Styles was pretty sure the world must be ending, or aliens must be messing with his head or something, because he was out to dinner with Derek, who'd always just seemed so suave and assured to Styles, and the man was blushing. Styles thought he had figured out every way that Derek could look attractive, but the older man just had to unintentionally find a new one, didn't he? I didn't get any on you, did I? Asked Derek, looking over at Styles guiltily. No worries, man. I am clean as a whistle. But really, we can ask for something else, you know. There is no shame in not being the master of the chopsticks that I am. This is the product of true dedication and training, Styles said, clocking his chopsticks in his hand. Dedication and training? Derek asked, his blush fading and the more familiar, but equally attractive, slightly droll expression taking its place. Have you ever seen in a martial arts movie when somebody is trying to front and show off, and then the master snatches a fly from the air with his chopsticks to show everyone his vastly superior speed and precision? For a while, it was my life's ambition to be able to do that. So for like 3 weeks, I did everything with chopsticks, even things one would think could not, or even should not, be done with chopsticks. I became a true master. Of something you only use when going to certain restaurants? And you know you could just buy a fly swatter to deal with insects. Much more effective and sanitary than eating utensils, Derek said with a smile. I didn't use the same chopsticks for everything. That would just be weird and gross, Styles said, picking up another piece of sushi. Besides, it looks like it paid off for me, doesn't it? I'm not the one wearing my dinner, he said pointedly, gesturing with his sushi to the mess on Derek's shirt before eating it with gusto. Derek looked down as if he had just noticed that his clothes were distinctly soy sauce flavored now.
Maybe I'm making a fashion statement?
Now, that sounds like an excuse I would use. Were I not the only one wearing a still pristine and spotless shirt at this table tonight? How much have you actually been able to get in your mouth tonight? Asked Styles, looking at the mostly full platter in front of Derek. You're taking me out. You might as well enjoy the food. On impulse, Styles reached over for a piece of Derek's shrimp and dipped it delicately in a soy sauce before holding it out across the table to Derek. Say ah, Styles commanded, with mock seriousness, barely able to contain his laughter. Derek looked briefly at the proffered morsel, but then brought his gaze up to lock eyes with Styles. Styles suddenly felt foolish, but he had been having such a good time, and it had just felt so natural for a moment that he had forgotten himself. Just kidding, he said, as lightly as he could manage, hoping that Derek would just be willing to let this slide and not make a big deal out of it at all, and began to withdraw his hand. No, Derek said softly, halting Styles' retreat. Derek slowly leaned forward, something about the light seemingly making his light hazel eyes flash electric blue for a moment, and bit down on the piece of shrimp still held in Styles' chopsticks. He chewed slowly, never breaking eye contact with Styles, who slowly pulled back his hand, unable to stop the slight trembling that was visible in the vibrations of his chopsticks, that now only held the shrimp's tail. Derek swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing with emotion. Both men leaned back into their chairs at the same time, Derek very deliberately, Styles almost collapsing till his body hit the chair's back. I think it might taste better that way, Derek said, picking up his cup of green tea to take a sip. I guess most things would taste better when they're not flavored by frustration, Styles said, trying to stay cool while wishing he understood what the hell just happened. Could be, but don't downplay your contribution. I think the improved presentation definitely helped, Derek said, smiling. Okay, so Derek had just been playing along. That was cool. Styles was the king of unintentionally awkward situations. The most recent of his efforts was him having a messy public breakup with Scott on behalf of his avatar from his favorite MMORPG, whose heart Scott had cruelly broken when Allison started playing. He had ditched Styles' poor vampire for Allison's dark elf maiden, and retribution was needed. And Derek had seemed to think it was pretty funny when Styles had explained what an MMORPG was. So who was Styles to prematurely put an end to a solid joke once it got some steam behind it? Even if it seemed like the joke status might be tenuous and possibly about to veer off into something else. So you think the Patchetton-Styles food distribution system would be a hit? Should I start advertising myself? Should I start local with some flyers? Or go right to developing a web presence? Styles joked. No, I don't. And now Derek was starting to look grumpy, like a petulant kid. Styles wanted to hit his head on the table. Thinking a blush was attractive was one thing. Thinking that a sour look like that was alluring was something else. So you think I should feed only you? Maybe you should recline while I stand by feeding you grapes while wearing only a loincloth and body oil? Styles asked, trying to blithely press on in the face of Derek's seemingly random shifts of mood. Do you own a loincloth? Asked Derek, with a look that Styles could only think to describe as wolfish, before apparently catching himself and schooling his face back to a marginally more neutral expression. In another situation, Styles would find the contortions Derek's face went through as hilarious, but not so much tonight. Nope, wouldn't you know it, I forgot to read the tag that said it had to be line-dried instead of thrown in the dryer, and it shrunk so much it couldn't even cover up what Ken doll doesn't have. Styles couldn't believe he actually answered like that, but when the only other option was awkward dead silence, it is not in Stilinski's nature to take that path. Still stuck on his own special brand of autopilot, he hesitantly reached out once again with his chopsticks and picked up another piece of tempura, eggplant this time, and repeated his earlier actions, dipping it in soy sauce and holding it out to Derek. So, no loincloth, But I still need to make sure you don't wither away from hunger, right? Will what I'm wearing do? Derek leaned forward to take the vegetable in his mouth. But instead of taking a bite, he spoke, his breath warm on Styles' hand, even down the length of the chopsticks.
I suppose so, he said,
and then bit down on the tempura held in the chopsticks. Styles drew back his hand, his face hot, and wondered if this could possibly, maybe, be more of a date than he allowed himself to think. The rest of the meal somehow managed to pass in a manner that most people would consider normal, with Derek actually feeding himself for the most part, and without Styles giving himself a stress-induced heart attack, or indulging in further attempts to test his real date theory by trying to initiate a round of awkward public footsie with Derek. Partially because he didn't think he was ready to face the truth if he was wrong, and partially because, with his luck, even if he decided to go for it, he'd probably end up molesting one of the table legs. And he was not the sort to impose upon a table against its will. But he still couldn't help but start to try and categorize every interaction from the night as a potential date indicator. He was picked up at his house, not in Derek's usual ride, but in the Camaro. He had totally let Styles pick the radio station, and when Styles' seatbelt got stuck after they got to the restaurant, and he was taking longer to get out of the car, Derek had started to walk around to the other side, like he was planning to open the car door. Then when they were shown to their table, it looked like, in hindsight, that Derek may have been pulling out the chair for Styles to sit in, before Styles just sat in the opposite one. That might explain the slightly panicked and unsure look Derek had adopted for a split second. And then, of course, there was the fact that Derek was paying for this whole thing. Well, Derek usually picked up the tab when they went out to grab a bite. As being gainfully employed by the county, he definitely had rosier finances than Styles did most of the time. But burgers and pizza and gyros are a world away from multiple plates full of sushi, finished off by green tea ice cream. On a side note, Derek's heretofore undiscovered love of green tea ice cream was not something that Styles had been expecting. But he filed it, and what he was calling Derek's surprised yummy face, away as something very good to know. The drive back to Styles' house was quieter than rides with Styles usually tended to be, at least until Gone Daddy Gone by the Violent Femmes came on, and Styles started singing along, without fully realizing it, earning himself a slightly puzzled look from Derek. I thought this song was done by that guy who sang that fuck you song Laura liked so much, Derek asked briefly, taking his eyes off the road to shoot a questioning look at his still-singing Styles. Styles held up a finger for Derek to hold on and finished out the chorus, and then turned to him with a laugh. Dude, that was just the cover version. This is the original Violet Femmes from, like, way back in the 80s. And you, of course, are a true music historian. Well, of course I am. I am a man of much knowledge and many, many talents that you could hardly even begin to imagine, said Styles, earning what either could have been a laugh or a choking sound from Derek. No, but as far as the Femmes go, my mother was a big fan. She even got to see them in concert a couple of times when she was my age. She had their records on vinyl and would get out her old record player from when she was a kid and play them for me. And every time they cursed or something on the record, she would clap her hands really loudly to try and distract me. Did that work? Derek asked, glancing over. What matters is that she thought it worked, said Styles, smiling at the memory. I got digital copies of all their stuff now, but I still like to listen to her old record sometimes. It just feels... I feel closer to her sometimes like that. I never really met your mother. I mean, I must have at some point, but I wish I had gotten a chance to know her, Derek said haltingly, keeping his eyes locked on the road. If you don't feel comfortable me saying that. No, it's okay. Anyway, I know she'd like you. Styles saw the gentle smile spread across Derek's face and turned to face the passenger side window and shut his eyes. The idea of Derek meeting his mom had crossed his mind before and always somehow made him feel like he wanted to laugh and cry at the same time. Not exactly a feeling he wanted to indulge in right then. The night had been enough of a trip already. Styles definitely didn't need to tear up in front of Derek to top it off. Soon they had arrived at Styles' house. When Styles turned in his seat to say goodnight to Derek, He found he was already opening the driver's side door. Looks like Stiles was getting an escort, all of the 15 feet to his front door. They walked together side by side to his door, shoulders bumping once or twice along the way. They stopped at the door, and Stiles tried to think of something to say. "So, I guess this is good night.
Did you have a good time tonight?"
Derek blurted out while looking somewhere over Stiles' shoulder, his nostrils flaring slightly.
"What? Of course I did," Stiles began,
feeling his face heat once again.
"Would you want to do it again with me? Sometime soon?"
asked Derek, his eyes now staring into Stiles's, like he could find the secrets of the universe in them. And all Stiles could think of was, "Oh my God, I wasn't losing my mind. This was a date."
"Stiles?"
asked Derek, sounding as unsure and afraid as Stiles had ever heard him.
"Of course I would," said Stiles, way more breathily than he intended.
But considering he was relatively sure his heart had stopped for a second there, he thought it was forgivable in this instance.
"How soon is soon?"
Derek inhaled sharply, and a smile blossomed across his face.
"Is this weekend too soon? We can go wherever you want, or..."
Stiles, trusting in the same instinct that had told him to essentially hand-feed Derek, reached up and put his hand on Derek's cheek, leading his head down the inch or so that all Stiles had to do was lean forward slightly and press his lips lightly to the corner of Derek's mouth. Staying in place, he spoke softly, thrilling at the feel of Derek's stubble on his lips.
"You choose the next one, one that you really like. I know you picked tonight's for me. So even if all they serve is mooing cows, we can go there if you want."
Derek nodded stiffly against Stiles' lips, his breath puffing hot and fast across Stiles' face. Stiles tried to take a step back, but Derek's arms were suddenly around him, holding him close. It was a position that felt to Stiles both very familiar and right. Derek ducked his head down, positioning himself so that his face momentarily rested on the crook of Stiles' neck. He inhaled deeply and then released Stiles abruptly, taking more than a few steps backwards.
I'll talk to you soon. Tomorrow. I'll call you tomorrow," Derek said, eyes wide and bright, as he all but fled back to his car.
Stiles watched the Camaro drive off, feeling incredibly unsteady on his feet. Once the car was out of sight, Stiles dug his house keys out of his jeans and turned around to open the door. He went in and quietly closed the door behind him and began to stealth it up to his room. His heart was still beating a mile a minute, like it wanted to punch right through his ribcage. And he wasn't quite sure he was up for anything, even so basic as exchanging pleasantries with his dad.
"Hey there, Stiles. Have a nice night out?"
his father's voice called out from within the kitchen. Why did his sneaking skills never hold up against his father? They always worked with Scott. Though, and Stiles loved the guy like a brother, using Scott as a barometer of anything could be an iffy proposition at the best of times.
"Yeah, it was fine," Stiles answered quickly, determined not to falter in his quest to get the hell upstairs before his dad had a chance to ask much more.
"So, did you make poor Derek pick up the entire bill? I know better than anyone how much you can eat."
"He offered. I didn't make. Dad!"
"Just remember," Stiles' dad said, walking out of the kitchen, a bowl of most likely much too buttered and salted for his own good popcorn in his hand. "Even though I do approve overall, you're still not 18 for a little while yet."
"Oh my God," Stiles mumbled as he ran up the stairs to his room.
But even the embarrassment over the fact that his dad was not only in the know, but so damn smug about it, couldn't make him lose the smile he wore. And then, when he was sure that his father was definitely settled in front of the TV to watch the NCIS episode he DVR'd the other day, and would not be coming up anytime soon, Stiles kicked off his shoes and shimmied out of his jeans faster than he ever had before in his life, grabbing a squirt of the truly all-purpose lotion he had on his desk. He collapsed back on his bed and took himself in hand because, good God, he had just been on a date with Derek. As he stroked himself to full hardness, and then to completion in almost embarrassingly short order, He marveled at how he had managed to say goodnight without jumping Derek right in the driveway when he had pulled him close. He bit down on his hand as he came to muffle the sound, just in case, and lay panting on his bed, pants off, socks on, and shirt rucked up, idly wondering about what Derek thought he smelled like when he had sniffed his neck.
Laura was out in the lit porch when Derek pulled up, swinging idly on the porch swing, her laptop on her lap, running a Skype session with Mark, her mate to her family, fiancé to his, up in Washington State. Derek was so keyed up, he could hear them being ridiculously saccharine even over the dull roar of the Camaro's engine before he turned it off. He got out of the car and started making his way to the house. Without taking her eyes off the screen, Laura nodded to acknowledge Derek's presence. "Hey, Marky, Derek's back from his date. Do you want to say hi?" "Derek, say hi to Mark," Laura ordered, now looking up from her laptop to see her brother walking closer. Derek didn't even get a chance to begin to respond when Laura screwed her face up into a grimace. "Oh, no, 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 no. What did I tell you about making those sorts of expressions around me? That you are not to do it. No pervy styles-induced faces in front of your sister. Go be elsewhere with that face," Laura continued to yell at him. Derek decided that a second run for the day might not be out of order. He turned away from Laura to strip, because though modesty wasn't an issue with them, if she was that annoyed over the state of his face, he didn't think she'd be as amused with the state of some of his other parts. "Ugh, Mark, I did not realize how easy I had it when he was pathetic and refused to find his mate. I'm like the most patient sister ever." Derek, now completely furred and on all fours, gave a snort at his sister's delusions and took off running into the woods before he could hear Mark make his, without a doubt, completely whipped reply. As he started getting into the run with little effect, he wondered if he might see if he felt any calmer after a quick hunt. The smell of Styles' arousal was still clouding his senses, even after such a brief scenting, and he needed to try and clear his head. And in all honesty, he was still a bit hungry. Japanese food had never been his thing, even though tonight it tasted better than it ever had before. But if he didn't catch anything more tonight, it didn't matter. Even in the shape of the wolf, the small spot where Styles had pressed his lips still burned on his skin like a brand. And though he knew he couldn't find out as soon as he would like, had to at the very least wait those few 2 long weeks of difference to the sheriff, to say nothing on letting Styles in on the family secret, Derek was looking forward more than he could possibly say to finding out what those lips would feel like everywhere else.